dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into show 274 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox. I will get to my young cohorts here momentarily after I tell you that this and every one of our shows brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They are located in Chillicothe at 1 Nancy Wilson Way, just behind the Hampton Inn, right off of Bridge Street. And you can look up detailed information about them at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. You can look up all kinds of things, including their menu, which we've not talked about all that much, guys. And I'm hungry tonight, so I would love some Triple Crown Family Fun Center food right now. But you can have all kinds of fun out there under one roof. 740-773-7529. And they are open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. We appreciate so much their continued support of the podcast here on SVC Sports Talk. I'd like to bring in the two gentlemen who do most of the talking. They're the sports gurus. First, we say hello to John Bruce. John, how are we?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Bruce?
Very well. Thank you very much for asking. Big week. Again, no snow, guys. So
yeah.
You got it all in this week, I think. But that's great.
Yeah.
Yep, and we say also hello to Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well, guys. I had a little church this morning and then some baseball requirements. And then this afternoon, kind of catching up on the Kobe Bryant situation. That was obviously sad news in the sports world there with his family. And, you know, John, it got me thinking a little bit about our agenda tonight in terms of here locally, in terms of when I was listening to some of the interviews today, it's obviously the tradition and some of the different legacy things that, you know, he's left behind. I just got thinking about our agenda tonight, and I think it's neat the way we're going to be able to honor a little bit of past and present and mm-hmm. and show a little respect to the history, tradition of the SBC. And maybe that's something as coaches we don't do enough of, but I think that school pride and some of that passion, I think we get an opportunity tonight to really honor, I would say over almost 100 kids, almost 200 kids, maybe, if you consider all the past names that we're going to get to talk about. So kind of an exciting show, Bruce. I think people of all ages will really, really enjoy tonight's show.
Yep. And I think it will be enjoyable as well. We had a major topic in the news this week. It was major. I think it was carried by all the different news sites all around the world, as DW and Brock Netter and some of the people down there at Socia are talking about starting a podcast, and they're going to call it Overtime. And of course, DW was Derek Webb was with us, oh gosh, a couple years ago for, I believe, fall, and then he went to Illinois, and then we carried on, I believe, in the winter. Most of the winter, it was just Shane and I, and we did the spring, and then DW came back, and I think he was with us most of that year. I can't recall all the different times, but always loved having Derek on the program. We've gone to him several times since then. We had him wrapping up one time, even when he was out in Illinois. And what are your thoughts, guys, about this podcast that Derek and Socia and Sir Brock Netter, are going to start? Either one.
John, go ahead. John, go ahead and go first. There, you'd be interested to get your take, and then I definitely had some things I wanted to make sure I got a chance to publicly say.
Well, I think it'll be really cool because they see so many different leagues as well. So it'll be something if you're interested in kind of more than just the SVC, because we obviously take care of the SVC here. And I know they'll probably talk a little bit of SVC on there, but you'll hear a lot of kind of the SOC, FAC and a little bit of the Shack, you know, it's going to be, I would think, you know, with both of their personalities and how much knowledge they have and how much they care about the local athletes, I think it'll be really good for the area. And if you're just a sports fan of the area, I think it'll be really cool because after you hear our brilliant hour and a half each week, you'll be able to, you know, take a listen to, you know, those guys who, like I said, really passionate about the kids in the area. I think they'll do a great job.
Absolutely. And, you know, Bruce, I think, as I comment on it, I think it's going to be a huge hit. I really do. I think it's going to be extremely successful. I think John highlighted some reasons why there when you consider. I know when we started our website there about a decade ago, about how a lot of conferences around us were really intrigued by what we were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was even approached by a couple conferences. Hey, would you be willing to expand? Or there's even some people that were willing to financially throw some things our way and do some different things. And I just politely, you know, declined because of what it was our vision, you know, was going to be. You know, we are very unique and we take pride in being very unique. We are one league, as we say, 100% of the time. And sometimes I hesitate to be so blunt when I say this because I feel like it comes across in a poor way. But, like, you know, we don't necessarily want to cover Chillicothe. We don't necessarily want to cover the Mid-State League. We don't want to cover the Southern Hills League. So a lot of times that maybe is going to take away our growth. We are who we are. It's kind of like the sport of baseball, John. It's one of those things where everybody's out there wanting to change it, but the people who truly love baseball don't necessarily want to change it. We just tell those people, hey, if you don't like it, you know, like people like me, you know, 162 times a year going to follow the Reds. I know you're that way with the Cubbies and so forth. Like, you know, we're just passionate people where we tell other people, if you don't like it, you know, just don't watch it. That's fine. And I think with what we do, we try to stay so unique. I think where the foundation of what we came in doing, you know, when you look at a, you know, I love a scoreboard show. I love what, you know, Coxie and them do. If it were up to me, the scoreboard show would have 16 SVC coaches on it every week. You know what I mean? To where we could hear from the boys and girls go. And I just know that's not what it is. You know, I know there's different conferences, Mid-State League. I know the Gazette's got Waverly, Chillicothe, you know, Sosa's all over the place. And, you know, I guess with our growth, you know, we've always understood that, you know, as long as the sponsorship is there, when you consider obviously what Triple Crown has done for the show, as long as Bruce and DBK Media Services are okay with and Triple Crown Family Fund Center is able to provide what we need there, we're going to always try to provide this service. You know, we're going to try to, like, just like tonight, I'm talking past and present, we're going to talk about 150, 200 kids probably throughout our league history. And, you know, when you look at a North Fork Animal Clinic, a Crown Hill Golf Club, and Advanced Services, those are sponsors from the website that maybe the podcast show has offered them a little extra. And you know, with the North Fork Animal Clinic and the Crown Hill Golf Club, the Advanced Services, they've, you know, kind of maybe been more intrigued by being a part of the show too. You know, that's awesome. It kind of helps grow the website a little bit. Nobody's certainly getting rich off of it. I try to help John throughout the year a little bit, gas, food, other ways, whatever it might be. But I guess a lot of hours involved, Bruce, but as you know, it's just kind of been a hobby. You know, I can't imagine doing journalism or communication for a job, because I think at that point, you know, ratings and rankings and all sorts of things have to then play a role. And I think those guys are under crazy amount of pressure to make certain decisions and so forth. So I think what these guys are going to do, I think, is going to be a huge hit, because I think there's a big part of Southeast Ohio, based on the feedback I've been given, that is starving for this. And, you know, if SVC can get a little bit more coverage from it, it all goes back to our number one goal at SVCSportsZone.com, which was from day one, was just to supplement what other bigger markets, bigger audiences we're doing to try to promote our league. So I'm excited. I'm in complete support of it. I hope it's a big hit, and I hope it's something that will grow high school sports that much more, and selfishly the SVC that much more here in the area. So that's just kind of where, you know, Bruce, I know you're really big into the podcast stuff. I mean, you're the reason that I even got started. What's your take on it?
Oh, I communicated as soon as I saw it come out. I communicated with DW and said, you know, if there's anything I can do to help you. And he said, well, that's great. But so far, we've not heard a second time from him or anything like that. But they had some, both Derek and Brock took the podcast format out to Illinois and did some out there as well. So they kind of know what they're doing. They're not real rookies or anything like that. And I'm sure they'll do a good job. But I'm pleased because I think, you know, with Derek having been on our podcast, we've got some crossover. I think he'll bring a bigger audience to us and vice versa from that standpoint. And like you say, It's not, you know, we don't live and die by our ratings or anything like that. The truth is we look at them, but we keep doing what we do because just the passion behind it, not because, you know, anyone's getting rich off of it or anything like that. I have to tip my hat a lot of times to you two, particularly Shane, for having done it for, I think we said 9 years now or something like that. We're doing show 274 tonight. They tell you if you get past 7 podcast episodes, you've kind of made it over the hump. That was long, long, long ago that we made it over the hump, and we just keep kind of churning it out. And we do enjoy hearing that people are liking it. And from some of the fan input this week that we've got, it's obvious that there's people just like you guys out there that just love to talk SVC sports. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll listen to it. I'm interested in what kind of format. I'm interested in the frequency and so forth that they'll do it, because those guys, you know, they're always out there.
They could
do a daily thing if they had the time, but these things take a lot of time, as you know.
I'll tell you, in a year and a half of writing for Great Seal Sports now, uh-huh, which is really, really nice, the job they do, and it's just kind of opened my eyes to a little bit of a different side of things. And again, I'm lucky that I don't have to be on the business side of that, but I know as that magazine grows, more and more people wanting it and so forth. But again, I think that people have to understand that some of these media things, like with WKKJ and SOSA and Great Seal Sports, and, you know, it's so much money driven in terms of they have to have a business side of it. And we're lucky to have Derek, though, that still understands that even though this is what he does, he still has, as you said, John, an incredible passion for kids and a want to cover kids. And I think that's exciting, the relationships he's been able to build with our local athletes and their families. I think that's awesome.
And he became a year older this week, too. This was his birthday.
Yes.
I think it was Thursday or something like that. Well, we're looking forward to that, and we'll stay tuned just as everybody else is out there. But we're going to start this week with a fan email that's taking parity and factors that separate good from really good and really good from champions. Our first full segment here on show 274 going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. They have a website where you can find out more about them at northforkanimalclinic.com. You can also give them a call, 740-773-7387. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. our sponsor here for segment one of show 274. And as I mentioned, this is a pretty much a show today that's kind of derived from fan input. And we had an email regarding girls basketball, and it is as follows. It says, "It looks like Southeastern has separated from the rest of the league, but I will say positions three to eight is a crazy parity." They go on kind of to interject that they really appreciate how Shane puts quarter scores on his page because it shows the flow of the games. Again, it goes on and says, "I know Shane had a chance to prepare and play Southeastern and Edina this week. I was just wondering what he thought is making these teams better than most of the league, but not quite at Unioto's level." Shane, I'm going to kind of throw this to you and let you kind of maybe explain this a little bit further.
Well, I think I'll answer it kind of in two parts. First, on the Edina Southeastern, I think it's their size is just unreal. They overwhelm you in terms of, you know, John, I always feel like rebounding and turnovers are kind of the two big statistical categories that are going to give you obviously more possessions, whoever wins those particular things. And both of those teams, they can at times just overwhelm the rest of the league with their size. You know, it's their ability to rebound. It's their ability to block shots, change shots, you know, there with Adina with, you know, the likes of Ader rebounding and Fuglesong and the length of Martin and even Abby French playing bigger than she is. And then, you know, we mentioned with Graves and Heiss and then, you know, Skeens and Bells, they just, even when they're not blocking shots, they're changing shots. And I think those particular teams, as I prepared for them, those are the things that it's just so hard to account for. You know, I mean, number one, you can't simulate it in practice unless you're going to get the broomsticks out and different things like that. And then, you know, as you get in those things over 32 minutes, just kind of, you know, overwhelm you. And those particular teams, it's impressive how they find, you know, ways to win. And now, I guess as I look down through the rest of this question, I'm really intrigued by this Piketon team. If you haven't had a chance to see the Piketon team play yet, they're really, really coming. They're really impressive. Bailey Volgamore, if you haven't had a chance to see this young kid play, really, really good. We'll talk later about her game a little bit more, but you know, she's very, very talented. Haley Reisner, Jenkins, Lamerson, Johnson, the older presence of Richie, but you know, this younger group is just really, really talented, and it doesn't shock anyone with them starting to go toe to toe with some of the top teams there, you know, with the way with Adina and with some of the teams like a Huntington. And, you know, we saw the score that was impressive, John. I thought the Logan Elm game, you know, that's obviously not a tough, an easy place to play. Just ask Unioto. You know, I mean, that was an impressive score the way they competed. So I see teams like that coming. We've talked about, you know, the things that Huntington, with a Basie and so forth, gives you. Zane Trace is so much improved, and Paint Valley has proven to be dangerous and capable of sticking their nose in. And but I guess at the end of the day, just you know, Unioto and Southeastern, just a little bit more depth in the scoring, a little bit more depth in the rebounding. Westfall seems to be the mystery team. They can make the league nervous. I mean, there's been a lot of talk amongst the coaches. That team certainly catches people's attention, though, because they know from when they're at their best on the offensive end, they have about four kids on any night that could go for 20. So I think the email's pretty accurate. You, John, I mean, is I kind of recap the league there? Do you see anything that you would add in terms of maybe just in terms of what separates those top teams from the rest?
Yeah, I do think some, you know, the length and overall depth does help them a lot, especially with some of the middle of the road teams. I'm really excited to see how the Piketon team grows. Like you said, I saw them there, I believe it was the first league game up at Unioto, and I was impressed with their young talent. Just how hard they played and how they competed. So I'm really looking forward to them. You know, like we'll kind of talk about a little bit with Adina. They're you know, just about a year away. But they're are going to be tough. And Southeastern just has that great length and the variety of scorers, I think, is what really helps them kind of make that little separation from the rest of the league. And also just how hard Heist plays also. It makes them really fun to watch as well.
All right. Guys, let's just for funsies here, let's just turn this over and do the same kind of question, really, if you think about it, to the boys. You've got your top three. You got your Piked in there towards the middle and then the bottom four. How about that?
Well, John, I think on this one there, when you know, there for so long, we thought the top three was untouchable. Everyone thought, you know, that Piketon in the middle had a chance to get somebody, and they certainly have played Edina tough for three quarters, played Uniota tough down to the wire the other night. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the Westfall getting Edina obviously has to be one that is the attention grabber this past weekend. But yeah, I think the Piketon in the middle is fair because Piketon hasn't quite been able to crack the top three, but they've certainly have proven above the teams underneath them. So I think that's fair as far as I'm concerned. You know, just so many back and forth things. Huntington beats Westfall, was tied with Paint Valley until literally the final buzzer. Then Paint Valley starts to score. You look Newland going over 100 the other night. Grubbs starting to score it. You know, they avenge an early season loss to Southeastern. But, you know, there for a while we thought Westfall was dead. And then they have this particular weekend that kind of reminds you clear back to the opening weekend. I guess my head's just all over the place with the boys league. I can't imagine being a coach in it. So it's fun as a fan. You know, I'm so different as a coach. You know, sometimes Bruce, I'll get on here and just run my mouth as a fan, just silliness looking ahead. Whereas a coach, I'm that boring, you know, day to day, give the proper speech, you know what I mean? But as a fan, it's kind of fun. You know, John, like, I mean, have you made sense of anything at all going on in the boys league?
Not at the bottom, in the bottom half, because like you said, at Westfall, it just seemed like, there could be some issues. And then, man, they were really good this weekend. And I was told Luke Blackburn didn't play on Friday.
My knowledge, he did not play Friday.
Yeah. Which makes that win even more impressive because of how good and talented he is. It's kind of how kind of the bottom half of the league's been. I do think Piketon separated themselves a good bit, and I got to tell you, they are really good. Mm-hmm. I know they're 8-9, and I know they're right around 500 in the league. But I think if their scheduling may have been kind of flip flopped with the less games at the beginning, more at the end, I think you'd be seeing a little bit more success. I do think one big thing that's going to help them right now with not really playing any non-league games until the last week is just getting in the gym with Coach Miller and his staff and just getting better day by day. If you would have told me that Birdie Fuller would be one of the top guards in the league after last year, I don't know if I'd believe you, because he's gotten so much better. He's gotten so much better from the first time we played them until this week. Just confidence. You can just tell that he believes in himself so much more now. And he shoots the ball really, really well, handles it really well. And then they get Logan Nichols back, who I think everyone thought was going to be out for the year after he tore his ACL over the summer. So, I mean, that just helps in their backcourt depth, as he was a starter last year. They're going to be still a scary team down the stretch. But I do think the top three has kind of separated themselves a bit. Edina's still a really scary team with that mix and all the experience that they have coming back from last year. And then Uniota, you kind of mentioned last week, this kind of plays almost an upsettable style, but at the same time, a style you don't want to play against. And you kind of saw that this weekend with close games each night, but so much experience and composure and great defense to where it makes a difference. And then you look at Zane Trace's scores, and they're kind of hilarious at times with how much they end up, you know, pulling away from teams. I'm really impressed with the top three. And I'll tell you, another team I'm impressed with is Southeastern. With the after watching them in the preview and kind of seeing on their first game, and I thought they really struggled, but they've really made some nice leaps throughout the year also, and they're going to be a team to watch out for the next couple of years because they play a ton of sophomores.
Yeah, and you know, Bruce, we don't have a lot of tournament talk this week. We mentioned it last week. I figured it would be coming here in the next couple, so we kind of went a different direction. But, you know, what John's saying there about Piketon's record, they're going to end up falling somewhere in the middle, and they are going to be just absolutely the worst type of team that one of these top seeds are going to want to see in their bracket, yep. John. Mm-hmm. I could just – you can almost anticipate it now, and I think there's some things that are true with you know, in that D4, when you consider Paint Valley, you know, dropping 49 in the first half the other night, or when, you know, Huntington goes on the road last night and they're leading that game at the first three stops. There's just some teams in the SVC, and there's a mix of styles in our league that I just think are going to really make our boys league tournament tough. I'm really excited to see the brackets when they come out. But I know there's still a lot of league to be decided too, mm-hmm. even though Adina Piketon's not going to win anything in the league. They certainly are still going to have their opportunities to impact it greatly.
Guys, as we're recording, I just happened to see that Zane Trace is going to be closed on Monday. We're recording on Sunday night. So prior to this podcast being published, it'll be published at 7 o'clock on Monday night, the 27th. We're seeing that Zane Trace is going to be closed on Monday, so doesn't really directly affect everything, but it does say that all activities are canceled on the school for Monday. Does that affect anything throughout the remainder of the week, though, for ZT?
Well, the girls will have SVC games Tuesday and Thursday, which obviously could kind of be up in the air
right. On
that, as we've seen a lot of other schools locally have gotten canceled. And actually the boys have a huge non-league game at Gahanna Lincoln. I don't think it would affect anything seeding wise for them unless they win. Mm-hmm. Then I think, you know, if you beat the number three team in Division I, I think it affects things, but that's going to be a nice kind of litmus test for them. So hopefully if that gets canceled, then get it rescheduled, but that'll be kind of a tough one to get rescheduled.
Well, a lot of it depends on how many of your athletes are involved too. You know,
right. You
obviously practice wise, it's going to impact and so forth. So yeah, that's something that, man, it seems to be jumping around school to school. I know Miami Trace, Greenfield, River Valley, there in Vinton County was canceled.
Yep.
I see Racing Southern. So, yeah, it's certainly something that's been a factor.
The information I saw did say that classes would resume on Tuesday. So, you know, it sounds like they would continue to play those games. But we will see. And like you said, it's hitting everybody right now. So we don't have weather, but we do have the flu, it seems. Like and so forth. Guys, up next, a fan has Shane and John comparing and contrasting today's top teams to the great teams of SVC past. And our segment number two of this here podcast brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. As we said last week, the official golf course of SVC Sports Talk. I'm sure Kevin enjoys that very, very much down there, hearing that he is the official course of SVC Sports Talk. Got that going for you, Kev. They're located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Give them a call, 986-4653. That's 740-986-4653. And, of course, they, too, have a beautiful website, crownhillgolfclub.com. Appreciate their sponsorship as well. And this was given to Shane this past week. And what the questioner was getting at was they would like for these guys to compare present teams, for instance, the first one being Uniota Boys, to a great team of SVC past. How do they compare to who do they remind you of? I'll just throw this out there, guys, and you tell me how you want to handle it. Uniota Boys, how do they compare, or who do they compare to in the past?
Well, the one thing I'll say real quick is there's a really cool segment coming up, individuals, here later in the show. And when I was explaining to a couple people that was going to be on the show, that's when this kind of came up. Hey, it'd be cool to do some teams as well. And, you know, John, when I see this Uniota boys, it's kind of a unique style. And some of the teams over the years that it was hard to find one with the depth. Honestly, I could think of some styles and I could think of some different things. I went back, about 6-7 years ago, right there in the middle of the decade, to the Zane Trace teams, the one that went to the district final there with Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
And that team with some physicality, if you remember some of those guys, they were older. They passed the eye test. Their physicality was really good. Maxwell, Haynes, a post player like Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. I believe Joel Tripp was still on that team. Kokenauer, shooter. Drew Davis.
Yep.
So it's just, to me, when I see this Uniota team, you know, you have the elite guard, and then you have nice off guards, and then you have some physicality in the post. Uniota is probably a little bit more probably a little deeper on the front line than that team. But man, when you think about the level Maxwell started to play with, and Haynes did a lot of winning in his career, mm-hmm. and so forth, that was a team that would they could get out and go athletically if they had to. They probably were a little bit more explosive at times than this Uniota team. When it came to tournament tough, I just thought that team kind of played a style in the half court when they had to, that kind of mirrored this particular Uniota team. So I will say, as we do this throughout the night, sometimes the biggest compliment is when you just say, this player, this team, they're just kind of unique. I don't know that I've seen it before. And the one thing I will say about this Uniota team is the depth in which they play with in terms of specific roles, I think, is very, very impressive. I heard Coach Hoops the other night talking about how it's fun that it's almost like the kids are just almost just kind of being soaked in by the identity. It's really becoming who they are.
All right. Mm-hmm. I know, John, you're kind of in a pickle for that one, aren't you? But do you have any comments you want to espouse on them?
Well, I think that's a good comparison. Another one I was thinking, it's kind of like the 2007, 2008 Huntington team with the Kellos. They had some nice depth. Maybe not as much depth, but they had high quality bigs, including a lefty with the Cottrell kid inside.
Yep.
So I'm big when I look at the comparisons to keep people on the same handed. and defensively, they made you earn everything. I can't think of the third guard they had.
The little scrappy,
yeah, nasty
Fellows and. Yeah. Gosh, I'll think of it here in a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, but
quick, tough kid.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. And just kind of a nasty defender. Knew his role, and I feel like, and he could make the occasional shot. I do think there's some different comparisons in there. I think you pretty much nailed it on this one.
Okay. What about the ZT boys, Zane Trace boys? Who do you compare them to of the past SVC?
John, you want to go or you want me to?
Yeah, I'll take it. Okay. I said the 1997-1998 Southeastern Panthers with a Tyler Barbie, John Danicki, Greg Schrader. I believe Wes Wood was on those teams. Great inside-outside combination. Could hurt you from inside or outside. And it depended on the night, they could do it. Obviously, they could do it both ways. But, they were – really relentless. I just remember when I was growing up watching that team, and man, they were good. And then, they graduated a couple guys, and then, Kevin Netter comes in and
Ryan.
Even better. So I think that defensively, I think the style way they played, I think they fit perfect with Coach Easterday out there. And they were a really fun team to watch. And I feel like that's a, at least decent comparison, at least in my heart, I think so.
Well, I think it's a really good one. I had, So again, maybe our years are combining here a little bit. I had two teams down, and one of them was the 98-99 Southeastern team. I kind of had in my notes that a Barbie Netter type of thing reminds you a little bit of of Evans Nesser type of thing. That they had the point guard who was quick, had good size in their roles. But I'll tell you the one I had first. That was actually my second choice. I had down the some of the Evan Legg Piketon teams throughout his career. When you look at Legg and Brapson and Smith and Southworth, Farmer, Brush, Moore, the Moores, you know what I mean? In terms of – I'd have to go back and remember exactly who played with what, because I remember, you know, Evan played with two really good groups, one when he was younger, one when he was a little bit older. And but that was the Final Four mix in there somewhere. What was that, 09, I think? But that team, again, elite guard, elite perimeter scoring, incredible size and athleticism on the front line, and you were mentioning with Zane Trace's scoring earlier about how that Piketon team could blow you out right now. You know what I mean? Like they could go. You know, Bruce, you'd feel like halfway through the second quarter, like, hey, we're playing with them a little bit. You know, it's 25-20, and you'd look up 2 minutes from now, and it would be halftime, and you'd be down 22. You know what I mean? It was they could really, really play, and they played at a great tempo. Fun teams to watch for sure. So yeah, I love your late 90 comparison. I actually had that in my notes with Southeastern, and then even working in the late 2000s there in that first decade with the Piketon boys team.
The funny thing about that was me and Coach Rose were kind of talking about that this past week because he played against that group when Legg was a senior, and how they were kind of just blowing people out, and then the games with Uniota were dogfights, you know, and it was kind of a kind of apt comparison to this year a little bit in that way. So, yeah, I really like that comparison. I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I didn't think of that one.
We'll let you modify your response and include that one as well then.
What's neat about it already, it'll be fun to see throughout the night, is John and I did not compare notes at all. So it's always fun. I enjoy the part of the show here where I don't know what you're going to say and see how it matches up.
Okay. Well, let's flip things over to the girls' side and let's hear your comparisons for the current Uniota girls to a team from the past in the SEC.
Well, I'm going to go back into the mid-90s and talk about some of the Paint Valley girls teams that won the league. That was a group that had a lot of kids that matched the positions. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? When you considered, like, you know, a Holbert, and then you considered, like, the Benners, and then as those teams moved on, you had Mahaffey, and then that was already a good team, and that's when Megan Kello transferred over from Huntington. You know, for people not familiar with that time period, it would almost be like Allison Basie coming to Uniota now. You know what I mean? Like it made Paint Valley from good to, like, you know, unreal for like 2 or 3 years, winning back-to-back gold balls. So I see a lot of that position. Like this Uniota team, to me, John, they match the positions. Does that make sense to you? Like,
yes.
You know, they have the kids that, you know, be the prototypical, you know, three guard lineup or two post type of things. And Paint Valley had that in a lot of ways. And I also mentioned, I'll just go and say it while it's my turn. Some of the Janae Driggs teams, if you wanted to stay in-house at Uniota, they have some characteristics of them. But to me, the Paint Valley team back in the 90s was the one that I think would be the better comparison.
Yeah, I somewhat was thinking that the Janae Driggs, I believe it was her sophomore year, the team that got to the district finals down at the Convo, which was – that was a really cool time when they had the girls district finals down there
for
a year. You know, and they were, that was the, Shania Ray, Cheyenne Ray, sorry. The Cheyenne Ray teams, just really explosive, defensively. And they were another one that kind of, you could have been close for a while and then they were going to slowly pull it away. And had the really good depth of athletes coming off the bench, with, like, you know, an Arledge and Driggs, and then you bring in like a Morgan Gum off the bench, who was an elite defender. You know, just a really good group there. I also said, you know, around the same time, the Zane Trace teams from then that they would get to the district finals and play like an Ironton and get in some trouble there with like Sarah Segman, Jessica Ropke, Mackenzie Tatman. I thought that group really had some nice depth, some outstanding athletes, really elite defending.
That's a good comparison too.
I think they're more explosive offensively, but defensively I think they're pretty close on that, because there's times that those junior teams would be really good and it would be like a 35-31 just slugfest because of how well that team defended. So I think it's kind of a mix of those two, I think, and I like your comparison with the Pay Valley teams as well.
What about the Southeastern girls, gentlemen?
Now, I went to this is the year before Huntington made it to the state finals, but I said the 2001-2002 Huntington girls. Now, they don't have the absolute size of the DePue sisters that Huntington had at that time, but they had a really good point guard and a lot of size, a lot of shooters that could shoot, some players that played really hard, like the McCloskey girl, you know, and you had the Eldridge and Doss girls that could really shoot it. So I think that's kind of close to what Huntington or Southeastern is right now. You know, with Tiffany Carroll, now Huntington coach, was running the point, and they were really good, really dynamic. And it
right, heard a bit, and it would be one of our individual things we're going to do here in a little bit. Right. That is a good comparison, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, they were a lot of juniors then, so then the next year they made that great leap to make that great tournament run. I do think that borderline similar on that, played really good defense, really big, made things really hard on you. You know, not as big as 6'5 and 6'3 in the middle, but you're not going to have that a whole lot.
Shane, what about you at Southeastern girls?
I love that. I actually had three down, and Huntington was one of them. I think that's really good. I some of the Piketon teams that's had some great size. Probably the one that I came up with that would be most accurate would be Uniota in the mid-90s there, mm-hmm. With Aubrey Evelyn, Julie Wilkins type of teams, where they ended up, you know, they won a lot early. And then as they got deeper into their career, like I said, Paint Valley before was really good. That team actually went to the state that particular year. But it was a team that was built on efficiency, team that was built on rebounding and defense, and they certainly had the ability to score, because you still had Natalie Miller, Stalley now, in the post, but then Aubrey could obviously score a little bit. What was it, about 1,700 points in her career, 1,800 points, and then Julie was one of the really elite female stars athletically in our league. So I see some characteristics there in terms of just some of the makeups of those teams as well.
You guys are really showing your knowledge here, I'll tell you. What about let's look at Edina, and first we'll talk about Edina girls. How do they compare to maybe a team in the past?
What's tricky here, John, in my opinion, is when I try to look at what this Edina team I think can be, not just this year, but over the next couple years. And there was a time in our league where, you know, it was young teams trying to get over the hump. You went from the Uniota Driggs, and it was the Edina Grigsby, then it was back to Uniota Overly and so forth. You know what I mean? And like I see a mixture of some of those teams, and you know, when Grigsby was young, I don't know that Edina has a player obviously of that talent just yet, but I do think it's a team that is what's the word, just complete, I guess, mm-hmm. You know, in terms of how efficient they play and so forth. So this Edina girls makeup, I think that's going to be the fun thing to follow, is what does their identity truly look like a year from now, as the sophomore class gets a year older and, you know, Stark graduates and they move on.
Yeah, and I went with the like the couple years after those Unita St. Trace teams would be like the 2012-13 Unita teams. It was well, Adina was in their last really good run. Unita had just graduated Driggs, and then another good class after them. They had a couple nice senior pieces. Mallory Rutherford being one of them, really good leader.
Yes, yes.
Bringing along a really talented sophomore group, which was the Overlees and I'm blanking on a couple of the other ones, but
on Rutherford there.
Yeah. Rutherford and Ashley Flott.
Ashley was a good athlete. Yeah.
So, I mean, a couple nice senior pieces, bringing along a talented sophomore group who's probably a year away from really exploding on the rest of the league. And similar record wise also,
I like that comparison, though, with the way Stark is kind of led the group there. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I just think that you need that to make that jump. You need a good senior class, no matter how big it is. Even if it's just one player, one or two players, and it can really help your team mature and evolve quicker.
Okay, guys, and finally, what about the Adina boys? Who do they compare to?
I'm going to go with another team was probably a year away, with the 1999-2000 Zane Trace boys. A great junior class, maybe a year away from the absolute consistency. That was the juniors then would have been Jaron Cox, who's player of the year the next year, Nate Seaver, the oldest Haynes, and they also had the Colt Mitchell, the 6'10 big man in the middle, where you could tell by the end of the year they were really starting to kind of find their footing. Obviously Adina took a little step back with their loss to Westfall on Friday, but still a really good group. Maybe they're just this full year of experience away from really taking over next year, like that Zane Trace group did.
Well, we're on the same track in terms of what type of team we're looking for. I went back to the early part of the decade with the Huntington teams, right around the time Dylan Gregg was player of the year. That was a team that had some experience. They had trouble maybe getting over the hump a little bit, but certainly still had a lot of success, won a lot of basketball games over a period. If I wanted to get more optimistic and really set the bar high, I could go back to the 93, which would have actually been the 92, I guess, Paint Valley team. They went on to win the league in 93. Mm-hmm. That was a team in 91-92, had a lot of tournament success. The league has never been better, ever. I'll argue that with anybody. The league's never been better than it was in 1992. So this was a team that started to stick their nose in a little bit and start to play into the top half. And then obviously in 93 became kind of the old group in the league and really, really intimidating and very, very good. So I think we're on the right track there, John, in terms of looking for a team that's obviously had some tournament success that sets the bar high. But when you look at the size of Bennett, the size of Garrison, the athleticism of Sykes and so forth, it just kind of reminds me, not quite as big as that 92 than to the 93 Paint Valley team, but certainly some characteristics of there was no question coming back in 93 after what the league graduated in 92 that Paint Valley was going to be the team to beat.
Well, guys, I'm sure there are some SVC fans out there really enjoying this, and so we're going to extrapolate this a little bit more. Up next, we'll take this idea and look at individuals of today's SVC players for boys and girls and compare them to SVC stars of yesterday. And this segment's going to be brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. You can look them up on the web, advancedservicesHVAC.com. Give them a call at 877-947-4499. They're celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio, and you can schedule a consultation today right from the website, which is, again, advancedservicesHVAC.com. And as we teased there before we went into the break that we're going to kind of use this, we're going to call this a blast from the past. And I think, Shane, you kind of indicated that this may have given birth to what we just did. But we're going to take the player from today and compare them to a former SVC player and explain why you like that comparison. We're going to do I'm going to give a list of names of current players, and you guys can pick three. And then we'll go back and forth. We'll go to John first and let him do that. Let's see here. On the girls' side, this is the list of current players that we want to compare. Allison Basie, Hannah Stark, Jaden Smith, Olivia Smith, Bailey Volgamore, Macy Graves, Amber Cottrell, Cree Stolle, Emily Coleman, Marcy Dungeon, Lauren Lane. And we'll
see. Those were just the names given to me, Bruce. I wanted to say that, John, if you have others, I threw in a Skylar Heise, I threw in some other names on my list. If throughout the night you have others that come to mind, let's just kind of spread the wealth here. But those names, Bruce, just to clarify, were given to me.
Okay, I understand. All right, that's great. So, John, out of that, let's stick with the list for the first one, maybe. We're going to give each of you three, and then we're going to kind of let you give a summary, maybe, if you've got some others. But out of that list, who would you like to compare to a former SVC player and explain why?
I'm going to go with Allison Basie.
Okay.
Because, she's our best currently. I'm going to say Crystal Tharp of Zane Trace. A great, great scorer, really good athlete, could really score in a variety of different ways that others couldn't. Early on, not quite an elite, consistent outside shooter, but they're going to get there. And when that happens, they're going to be nearly unstoppable, like Crystal was her junior and senior year, and really all 4 years. The way it looks like Allison is building towards that with her early resume. I think similar size wise, I think it would have been kind of easy to go with Ella Skeens on that just for recency, but I thought I'd have a little more fun with that one and go with one of the best players we've ever had in our league, in Crystal Tharp.
Well, John, I'll show my age on that one. I'm gonna get a little older on you. Down the athleticism of like a Kim Barker in '93. Kim once scored 69 in a game.
Wow.
She was 1,100 point scorer, I think, and believe she went through some injury that probably kept that number from being better. But I'll tell you the best one. Uniota people will know this one well, is Natalie Hill. Late 80s, right around I think graduated in 90. I don't have that in front of me, but they went to the Final Four volleyball.
90.
She scored 1,600 points, ended up playing at Dayton. But the athleticism and the way they score and the way they play is a great comparison there. I think it's kind of fun. But I agree with you that Crystal obviously knew how to keep the basketball and the whole. That's a good one as well.
And Shane, will you want to take your pick there?
Yeah, I think I will. I'll go to Macy Graves. I think that Macy has a little bit of Ashley Lawhorn in her from Piketon. But I'll tell you the one that going back to Uniota, I guess this might have been one of the names we were thinking of a second ago. John is Hannah Miller.
Yep.
Macy has some Hannah Miller. Miller might have even been on one of those Rutherford teams. Maybe a Tori Cox too was on that team. I can't think if that's the same year. But Macy, Hannah had that size, could shoot the three, and but like I said, Ashley Lawhorn had a little bit of that in her too. So those were two players that that came to my mind with Macy, that versatility, Bruce, to shoot the three, beat you off the dribble, get to the free throw line, just a really, really good player.
Yeah, I went a little further back with Uniota and went with Katie Fry. from 2004. Yeah. Just another really good inside outside threat. Could really beat you off the dribble. Did it with size. Was another outstanding player. But I love your comparisons. I was trying to figure out where to put Lawhorn in because I thought she fit for a few of these. But yeah, I like that comparison a lot.
All right, John, it's your turn to pick one.
All right, I went with Amber Cottrell and with no relation, Chloe Cottrell of Unioda. Yeah. They're two different spellings. Yeah,
yeah.
A point guard who could really distribute the ball, could do a lot of good things on the court, and then kind of later in their career, kind of went, oh well, I can score now too, and just went and would just have big nights whenever they kind of felt like it and kind of had a really good feel for the game. Could really decide what they needed to do that night, whether it was scoring or passing. I thought they both, and kind of the way they carried themselves also on the court, and also could be really good defenders and have both been a part of some really good teams.
Yeah, I tell you, when I said earlier, John, the unique players are the ones that you really give the highest praise to in terms of it's hard to match mm-hmm. them up, meaning how unique they are. I see some things that intangibles of a Carlon Cox, a Kelsey Robinson is probably a little bit more of a scores mentality from Westfall. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mallory Rutherford might even come to mind there a little bit in terms of some of the intangibles. But mm-hmm. yeah, Amber's a unique talent in terms of how she dominates some of those things that we talked about on last week's show. That's a good one, though, because Cottrell certainly was that for those past unique other teams.
Okay, Shane, you want to pick your second one here?
Let's get down the list here. Let's go to Marcy Dudgeon. I think okay. I've got a pretty good one there. Johnny, you got me going on the lefty thing, right? So how about Taylor Overly? Lefty, right. Good shooter, probably best on the drive, but certainly could shoot it. A tough matchup. Now Taylor, if you remember back, one of the first couple of games of her high school career, went through a terrible injury, worked her way all the way back, and really, really good player. That probably cost her being closer to 1,000-point score, but really, really good player. And the lefty versatility is what kind of just maybe makes me think of that being a pretty good match.
Yeah, I believe it was the first play she was involved in of the first game.
I was sitting down diagonal from it. It was terrible to be there, yeah.
But my comparison on Marcy was Ashley Jordan of Edina, which, of course, I went with the lefty comparison there, where they could beat you outside, but they also were really good on the drive, really relentless rebounder too. Maybe didn't have the extreme vertical that Ashley had, but really smart with how they got to the basket and ways they could score inside and out.
Yeah, Marcy certainly added some things with her back to the basket in the last couple of years that makes her that much more difficult to guard. That's true, yeah.
Okay, I think, John, you've got your official third pick to come here. What do you think?
I went with Emily Coleman of Unioda and Cassie Wertman of Zane Trace for the really good teams from the early 2000s for them. Had a ton of heart, ended up being player of the year. I believe it was their junior year where they had kind of a loaded team as well. Always making a positive impact on the game, can hurt you in a variety of different ways, could take the game over on offense if they really got going, but really was a good leader and made winning plays quite often.
Mm-hmm.
I like Emily Coleman. I had down start there at Southeastern, ended at Zane Trace. Kylan Strawsball, bigger size guard, good off the dribble, a much improved shooter. I love the comparison of how Kylan became such a much better shooter as a junior senior. Mm-hmm. I feel like Emily's done the same, but yeah, Emily's a terrific player, and certainly that's high praise there that John and I are passing along with those kids that we used.
Okay, and Shane, you got your third official pick here.
So many fun ones to choose from. Let's go with I'll tell you what. Let's just stay right at Paint Valley here. I think this is a really unique one. Let's go with Olivia Smith.
Okay.
And you know, this is where maybe even throw in the Skylar Heise of today. Skylar, kind of an older version of Olivia. But I started thinking of rebounders. And when I think of rebounders, I think of some of the, you know, obviously the size and some of the bigger post players you've coached against over the years. I think of Piketon's Kara Blanton as an outstanding rebounder, but she's so much bigger than Olivia and Skylar and those types of players. Maybe stay at Piketon with a Faith Pack. But I'll be honest, John, when I really break it down with Olivia, I think I'd stay right there in the Paint Valley basketball program and go with her head coach, Coach Norman, Tristan Runfield. Tristan was a Tristan was a player that, you know, there in her senior year led the league in rebounding, was a double-double. Scoring and rebounding. And, you know, Tristan certainly wasn't the tallest kid on the floor, but just absolutely was relentless to the glass. And, you know, I know you've commented on Olivia when you've had a chance to see her play. And, you know, Skylar's obviously falls into that as well. So I think it's kind of unique that she's playing for a head coach that kind of is the perfect match when you go past the present.
That's cool. John, any thoughts there?
I had a really hard time finding anyone that I thought compared and just size wise to that.
Yes,
I like that comparison. Alexis Putnam, I think kind of fits in the
how maybe hard, a little taller, but certainly played really hard.
Played really hard, is always at the top of the or near the top of the rebounding numbers. Had to be over 800 rebounds for her career just based on the numbers, which is, you know, really impressive. So that was kind of the closest I could come to, but I really enjoyed watching Olivia play, and, you know, I'm excited to watch her for the next couple of years.
Well, we could probably do this all night, but we got to move along. But at the same time, I don't want to cut you off if you've got some other ones that are remaining on the list that you just would love to get in. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about?
All right. John, I'll rattle through here, and you can interrupt or comment on anything. It's kind of a fun thing to do. We'll just name as many kids. We've already mentioned Basie with Hill. Let's see here. Hannah Stark and Jaden Smith. I had a Molly Mahaffey type, maybe a Heather Burns Piketon, Connie Fazio from the early 90s there at Uniota. Maybe even interesting to Chrissy Higginbotham, another Adina kid that I think her sophomore year was on the state title team. She was a player of the year later.
I was going to say, made the ultimate game-winning play.
Yeah.
the championship-winning play. So
that, you know, there, you know, those bigger guards, Bruce, sometimes hard to compare, but those are some of the ones that came to my mind. Bailey Volgamore, I talked about her earlier, and, you know, Bailey is a kid I really like. I love her passion for the game. I love how hard she plays. The bigger guard that handles it, she's got a little bit of Southworth characteristics there. At Piketon, where she got hurt going into her senior year, and it kind of cut that career short. Now, if I really want to go crazy praise, this is setting the bar really high, but Alexis Overly, she's got a little bit of that Alexis Overly build and game. Now, those are some big shoes to fill, but a lot of times we're just looking for comparisons in game and style. That would certainly be one. I even threw in Haley Reisner, Aaron Daly. Natalie Miller, Natalie Stolle. I think those are some comparisons. We mentioned Macy Graves and Amber Collins. How about Cree Stolle with Jenny Grigsby, that size and versatility?
I like that.
Where Cree, again, is asked to play a little bit more of a specific post role. You know, keep in mind, when you play with these Uniota kids, you have four of the top, you know, 7, 8, 9 players in the league. There's only one ball to go around, you know, so where, you know, Jenny got turned loose a little bit. You know, you mentioned a couple of weeks back, John, that maybe Cree had been overlooked some in her career. And I think a lot of that has to do with just being at Uniota, just being, you know, in a situation where, you know, just kind of a little bit more of a defined role instead of just, you know, being turned loose the way you would be if you would come in as a freshman with her talent at a smaller school. You'd had no choice but to turn her loose from day one. We mentioned Emily. Marissa Mullins reminded me a little bit as a freshman three-point shooter to Aubrey Eblen, not necessarily the full player, but just the tall shooter. We mentioned Marcy Dudge. And then Lauren Lane and Abby Walls, Paint Valley, Erica Harris, Adina. That type of player, maybe an Ashley Sowers athletically. Ashley is probably a little bit more of an explosive scorer, but Lauren's really turned into a nice player here in her junior year. I think the Abby Walls comparison is a pretty good one. So that's what I have.
All right. Let's flip over and go to the boys' side. And the I guess the writer of the email that provided this listed these names: Logan Bennett, Preston Sykes, Seth Beeler, Bryce Newlin, Chris Chandler, Aaron Gillum, Isaac Little, Cameron DeBorg, Jay Wyman, Cam Evans, Nick Nesser, and Colby Swain. John, I'm going to let you pick first. Which one would you like as your official pick first?
I'm going to go Seth Beeler and Clay Stratton of Paint Valley. Just super athletic guys who could shoot it, could score from kind of anywhere on the floor with a nonstop motor, super competitive, played really hard on both ends of the court, and it seems like they never get tired, you know, and probably a little stronger than they look, too. You know, I didn't really get a chance to coach against Stratton, but I would assume he would be just as not fun to game plan
he
for.
Could really score. Yeah. He could really score.
Yeah. As Beeler and, you know, those are the type of kids you love to watch, but you don't love to coach against because of how hard they play, and their nonstop motor.
I like that. I actually went Paint Valley, actually played for the same head coach. I went with Matt Workman. Workman had that kind of length. He scored over 1,000. Maybe not as explosive quickness-wise as Seth, but maybe just a little bit more skilled, at least early in his career. You know, Seth's skill levels come along so much this year in terms of his ability to handle and shoot it. So I'll be honest, I love the Stratton there. Maybe I was drawn to the Beeler Workman thing just because, you know, again, playing for Coach Snyder there first at Paint Valley right. And now at Huntington.
Okay. Shane, your first official one?
Well, we have to go to the point guard position, of course.
Of course.
let's go with Colby Swain here, John, and see how you like an older Nick Overly late in his career or maybe a Cody Carpenter. You know, in terms of assist guy, defender, can score if he has to. But those are two kids that jumped out at me in terms of the way, you know, Colby can score it when needed, but certainly to me impacts the game far more when he starts becoming the table setter and then specifically on the defensive end with how hard he plays.
Yeah, I really like those comparisons. I went showing my age and went with Greg Schrader of those Southeastern teams in the late 90s. Just because I feel a similar build, strong, really quick, athletic kids that could do it on both ends, really good floor generals, you know, could do a little bit more than they're asked to, but are just, you know, elite at handling the ball, getting the team into their stuff, and then really good on the defensive end.
Okay. Let's see. It would be to John for his second pick.
For Cam Evans, I went with Kyle Miller of Piketon. You know, maybe Kyle, you know, his first couple years, you know, the first year they took some bumps and really, you know, I think grew as a player. And then maybe he grew a little bit more to kind of be a little taller, but just, and you know, to use the kind of Kobe Bryant mentality of, you know, the end of the game, I'm going to take over.
Yeah.
I feel like both of those guys had that, have that. I mean, I'm sure if you go down to Waverly on a Sunday, wherever Kyle's playing basketball, he's going to do it now the same as he always has. You know, so I think, you know, being kind of starting as a point guard and kind of moving off guard throughout their career also, I think, kind of adds a little bit to the comparison. Elite at getting to the free throw line and converting when there. And then, you know, they're the type of guy that end of the game, they're taking the ball and they're going to go score it. I mean, and, you know, I think that's a really positive comparison as well.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I coached against Kyle. Certainly could see that, especially later in his career. Cam's one of those unique kids that right. You talk about high praise. I had down I add down explosiveness of Mike Fout to the skill set of an Evan Legg, Josh Kelly, maybe even a little bit of the Corey Wyman. I mean, like some really good players there, kind of all in one. And I guess that's what makes you top, what's going to probably be like a top 10 score in the history of the conference. Just a real special player, but I like that. I do. I like what you did there.
Shane, let's hear your second pick.
Well, let's stay lefty on lefty. Let's go Cameron DeBoard. I went Bryce Vickers of Huntington. I think.
Oh yes, I did too.
Did you really? See, to me, I even had it all the way down to like, you know, good baseball players and lefty on the basketball court, could shoot the three, put it on the floor and drive. They're ultra competitive. You know, so yeah, I just, to me, that the body types and everything, I thought that was one of the best ones. So if we both have it, then we must just be right. Sure. I don't know how we would both be wrong.
That's dead nuts then. Okay. Well, we don't need to get a comment from John because it's already been said. So let's go, John, your third one.
I went Logan Bennett, Tristan Detty of Southeastern. He partially with that was the incredible improvement that both of those guys made each year. And I assume Logan will make coin to a senior year too. Tristan was about 6'4", 6'5", could shoot it from anywhere, but could also break you down off the dribble, could score inside. Really smooth. I feel like Logan's a really smooth type player. You know, it's just a really hard guy to stop. Now, Tristan was their number two guy because they had Chris Skaggs, but still was just a dynamic player. I see a lot of that with Logan. Mm-hmm.
I went Uniota here, and I even thought some of the numbers as you got later in their career, the way they were inside out, maybe even played inside for their team. How about Brick Davis? Mm. How about Dave Huffman? Can you see a little bit of that from Uniota and Logan's game?
Definitely with for both of them, just athletically too, because both those guys are really good athletes and Brick
really move at their size. Yeah. And if you remember when Eric Eric got hurt there, Huffman had to step out to the point a little bit and handle it, which I think Logan could in times with his versatility. But like Brick was a kid that could go inside out on you. So yeah, I think that there's a little bit of that there for sure.
And Shane, your official third one then.
Oh, I think the boys is going to be fun to even get John's beyond three, but let's just go ahead and take I'll go Isaac Little. I had three guards down that and you're around him a lot more than me, John, so tell me if I'm way off here. I went with like a Bryant Gibson, Kyle Voldemort, Kirk Maxwell type of player. Mm-hmm. Any of those one over another or maybe another player you had for Little?
I had Josh Kello. But I think those are really good comparisons. Just I think the elite scoring point guard with a really good feel for the game and ultimate competitor. I think the competitiveness is a lot like Bryant Gibson on that.
Yes, the Gibson teams were really good at Westfall there. Then they tie. I think the Westfall teams tied the Python team that went to the state, correct?
Right. Yeah. And I do think that kind of ultimate comparison or ultimate competitor and can kind of rub people the wrong way at times. But you just knew how much they wanted to do it. I think that's a pretty good comparison there. He's and just kind of the grittiness. I feel like kind of with the Josh Kello there for me was just kind of the grittiness and could find different ways to score and really good at the free throw line. I really like those comparisons though that you made.
Okay, so now we go move into the free-for-all round, or I don't know what we're going to call it here, but let's let John – any other ones you want to go over there, John?
Kind of for Preston Sykes, I said Kirk Maxwell there.
Okay.
Kind of
Gabe Haynes.
Yeah. I went with just the size-wise for Kirk, but I like that. Bryce Newland, I said John DeNicke.
I had John DeNicke and Scott Kerr.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Wow. All right. For Chris Chandler, I had Nick Corcoran of Uniota.
I like that one. That's where I had Clay Stratton, and I had – you remember Chris Atkins at Huntington?
Yes. Yeah,
that has a lot of Chris Chandler in it,
Aaron Gillum, I had Drew Shaw of Westfall.
Oh, good. Funny Drew Shaw story. Do we have time, Bruce?
Sure. Go ahead.
in my head coaching days, Drew Shaw, I don't know exactly what happened, but there were some chemistry issues going on with Westfall where the night before we're going to play him, John, he doesn't hardly take any shots or whatever. He only had like 3-4 points or whatever. And I guess they had some, to make a long story short, without butting into Westfall's business too much, they kind of had a moment after the game where it was known to everybody involved that he was going to go to Paint Valley the next night and shoot it as many times as he wanted. Well, he did. That didn't go very well. So, yeah, I like that. Very well for me. It went well for him. But no, that was a good one there. A little bit of Tyler Corey, Tyler Osborne type player. Mm-hmm. There's what I had. Yeah.
Drew scored 38 on us up at the dome my senior year.
He can shoot. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I'm hoping Aaron doesn't do that when we go out to Southeastern here in a couple weeks, but it wouldn't surprise me either. I said for Jay Wyman, I said Nick Kello of Southeastern.
I had Jeff Everhart type of player. I thought that was a really good one. Justin Mendenhall reminded me a little bit today. Maybe even if I go back to my playing days, Tony Picklesheimer there at Westfall.
Nice. I like that. And then I had Nick Nesser. I had Alex Stonerock of Westfall, kind of with the injury situation too, kind of both battled injuries to really be really effective and very efficient scorers.
Nick's unique. I spent a lot of time on him, and he's good. I mean, he's a special player. Maybe I look for length that could score and be versatile, kind of like a Jordan Brapson, Nick Milliken, maybe. I even kind of went back to a healthy Nick Nesser. See, that's what we have to remember is, like, we're watching Nesser, like, at what, 60%? Like, I mean, like
– right.
You know, Craig Kearns, Mike Adams, Aaron Skeens type of build. Because keep in mind, you might say, well, he's not going to score as much as them. What I would remind you is he's also playing with a kid that's going to finish top 10 in the history. There's one ball to go around. You see what I'm saying? So it's one of those where, you know, there's a lot of versatility there. I think the Nesser kid is elite. I love his game.
Well, guys, that was fun. I think you showed your depth of knowledge for the SVC right there. In both of those segments that we did where we compare the old players to current players and also the old teams to current teams, you know, I'm pretty much a one team wonder in my own right, but I could not do that given the if someone said name some Vinton County Vikings of the past, I don't even think I could do that. So pretty amazing that you did that. All right, let's give the contact information so that you can, you the listeners can provide these type of neat thoughts. Maybe something you'd like to hear these guys talk about, because obviously they can talk SVC sports pretty well. For Shane, if you want to get a hold of him, you can use email. Email him at admin1@svcsportzone.com. On Twitter, he's available where his handle is SVC Sports Zone. On Facebook, maintains two profiles, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone, and svcsportzone.com. For John, his email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, he is the ever-popular Coconut Wall Papa. You can also leave us a message on DBK Media Services voicemail, 740-569-3254. And as always, we ask that if you see our traffic on Facebook, you share it. On Twitter, you retweet it. I just about messed that up. And if you're listening on iTunes, give us a great review and maybe a great rating as well. So that's going to put a capper on this episode. What was it? 274, I believe. John, any final thoughts here?
Just last back-to-back for the boys in league play in the year. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
you know, we'll take out half of the remaining games left in the league schedule. Should be some really good games this weekend. I know – the 1994 Uniota baseball team's getting in the Uniota Hall of Fame on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, about
team.
Time.
Good team. Yeah.
And then also I'm excited to get out and watch some girls' games throughout the week. You know, as we're off until Friday. Looking forward to getting out there. Big game on Thursday, Southeastern at Uniota. And a big one on Tuesday with – Adina at Uniota as well, but you know, the league really comes down to those two games. Really looking forward to getting out and watch those games. And if you see me sitting on the stage, come over and make fun of my comparisons or something. I don't really care. It's just fun to talk. Talk to the SEC.
Yep. Shane, your thoughts?
Well, before I close this out, John, I guess what I would ask, because it was such a unique show, and I know we were flying back and forth there and kind of throwing stuff in, is there anything in your notes on anything that maybe you didn't get a chance to mention that you're really hoping to?
No, I think we were kind of able to cover it there, especially there at the end. You know, I'm sure there's some other players that we could do comparisons to.
Sure.
So it'd be cool if anybody wanted to throw out those just to see what we say. And, you know, I think that'd be fun to look forward to for something for next week also.
Well, I do. And, Bruce, I think what's always been cool about SBC Sports Talk, when we do this, we're not saying that we got it all perfect. We got them all. But what it does is, as people play along, what it does is it throws out a little bit of now, a little bit of past. It helps maybe kids that are listening to learn a little bit, you know, about their programs, you know, previous players and about the league's history and so forth, because I think that's really, really important in tradition. So, as John said, we're going to be, 13 games into this league mess by the end of next week, as we come up on the Super Bowl, and we'll start to get some tournament talk and some seedings, and Great Seal Sports issue should be coming up. Talking versatility in the three ball, John, this month. Bryce Newland, Logan Bennett, as well as Allison Basie, Macy Graves. I think people enjoy that piece. We talked about what we've been doing with Mojo. We've highlighted Chris Chandler once, the Maggie Holbert. I talked about her, a sixth grader there at Paint Valley, getting to go to the state and doing some things. Next up, we'll see. You never know when I'll be out and about with what Mojo's allowing me to do there. So excited about that. But, guys, I think it's going to be a great week. Looking forward to it. And we'll get together next week and do it again for the, as Bruce was saying, next week for the 275th time. So until then, we'll get on out of here. Fans, keep checking out the website, svcsportzone.com. We'll do our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.